November 6th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, and we'll go through chapter 16, verse 41. We'll see that the prophet had seen idols in the temple in Jerusalem, but now he saw idols in the hearts of the elders in Babylon. God had disciplined those men by taking them from Judah to Babylon, and he had been merciful to them in sparing their lives. Yet nothing brought them to repentance. They pretended to be spiritual by inquiring of Ezekiel, but God saw their hearts and told his servant the truth. Judgment was inevitable. Famine, hungry beasts, war, and pestilence. Noah saved his family. Daniel rescued his friends. And Job prayed for his three so-called friends and delivered them. But nobody's intercession would save Jerusalem or anybody in it. A person's righteousness could save only himself or herself. It could not save another. Cherishing sin in the heart will lead to practicing sin in the life. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As we move on into Ezekiel chapters 15 and 16, we'll read about unfruitfulness. The vine was a familiar emblem of Israel. Vines are good for only two things, bearing or burning. See, you do not build with wood from the vine because it does not lend itself to being cut and shaped. If the vine does not bear fruit, well, it's useless. And that was the condition of God's people in Ezekiel's day. If you share the life of God through faith in Jesus Christ, let that life reveal itself in the fruit you bear for his glory. And we'll read about unfaithfulness. Israel was the wife of Jehovah only because of his grace and love. She was in wretched shape when he called her and saved her. He showered her with gifts, which she used to commit spiritual adultery as she worshipped the idols of the other nations. She was both an adulterous wife who broke the marriage covenant and a harlot who paid others to sin with her. God judged Sodom and Israel, but that did not deter Judah. She went right on sinning. No wonder God became angry and judged the people. In Romans chapter 4, verse 7, Paul applies these two images to believers. We are married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Jesus Christ wants our single-hearted devotion as we share our love with him. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. November 6th, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12, through 16, verse 41. Then this message came to me, Ezekiel, from the Lord. Son of man, suppose the people of a country were to sin against me, and I lifted my fist to crush them, cutting off their food supply, and sending a famine to destroy both people and animals alike. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, their righteousness would save no one but themselves, declares the sovereign Lord. Or suppose I were to send an invasion of dangerous wild animals to devastate the land and kill the people. Even if these three men were there, the sovereign Lord swears that it would do no good. It wouldn't save the people from destruction. Those three alone would be saved, but the land would be devastated. Or suppose I were to bring war against the land, and I told enemy armies to come and destroy everything. Even if these three men were in the land, the sovereign Lord swears that they could not save the people. They alone would be saved. Or suppose I were to pour out my fury by sending an epidemic of disease into the land, and the plague killed people and animals alike. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were living there, the sovereign Lord swears that they could not save the people. They alone would be saved by their righteousness. Now this is what the sovereign Lord says. How terrible it will be when all four of these fearsome punishments fall upon Jerusalem. War, famine, beasts, and plague, destroying all her people and animals. Yet there will be survivors, and they will come here to join you as exiles in Babylon. You will see with your own eyes how wicked they are. And then you will feel better about what I have done to Jerusalem. When you meet them and see their behavior, you will agree that these things are not being done to Israel without cause, says the Sovereign Lord. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, how does a grapevine compare to a tree? Is a vine's wood as useful as the wood of a tree? Can its wood be used for making things, like pegs to hang up pots and pans? No, it can only be used for fuel, and even as fuel, it burns too quickly. Vine branches are useless, both before and after being put into the fire. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says. The people of Jerusalem are like grapevines growing among the trees of the forest. Since they are useless, I have set them aside to be burned, and I will see to it that if they escape from one fire, they will fall into another. When this happens, you will know that I am the Lord, and I will make the land desolate because my people have been unfaithful to me, says the Sovereign Lord. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her loathsome sins. Give her this message from the Sovereign Lord. You are nothing but a Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. When you were born, no one cared about you. Your umbilical cord was left uncut, and you were never washed, rubbed with salt, and dressed in warm clothing. No one had the slightest interest in you. No one pitied you or cared for you. On the day you were born, you were dumped in a field and left to die, unwanted. But I came by and saw you there, helplessly kicking about in your own blood. As you lay there, I said, "Live," and I helped you to thrive like a plant in the field. You grew up and became a beautiful jewel. Your breasts became full, and your hair grew, though you were still naked. And when I passed by and saw you again, you were old enough to be married. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declared my marriage vows. I made a covenant with you, says the Sovereign Lord, and you became mine. Then I bathed you and washed off your blood, and I rubbed fragrant oils into your skin. I gave you expensive clothing of linen and silk, beautifully embroidered, and sandals made of fine leather. I gave you lovely jewelry, bracelets, and beautiful necklaces, a ring for your nose and earrings for your ears, and a lovely crown for your head. And so you were made beautiful with gold and silver. Your clothes were made of fine linen and were beautifully embroidered. You ate the finest foods, fine flour, honey, and olive oil, and became more beautiful than ever. You looked like a queen, and so you were. Your fame soon spread throughout the world on account of your beauty, because the splendor I bestowed on you perfected your beauty, says the Sovereign Lord. But you thought you could get along without me. So you trusted instead in your fame and beauty. You gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. Your beauty was theirs for the asking. You used the lovely things I gave you to make shrines for idols, where you carried out your acts of prostitution. Unbelievable! How could such a thing ever happen? You took the very jewels and gold and silver ornaments I had given you and made statues of men and worshipped them, which is adultery against me. You used the beautifully embroidered clothes I gave you to cover your idols. Then you used my oil and incense to worship them. Imagine it. You set before them as a lovely sacrifice the fine flour and oil and honey I had given you, says the Sovereign Lord. Then you took your sons and daughters, the children you had born to me, and sacrificed them to your gods. Was it not enough that you should be a prostitute? Must you also slaughter my children by sacrificing them to idols? In all your years of adultery and loathsome sin, you have not once thought of the days long ago when you lay naked in a field, kicking about in your own blood. Your destruction is certain, says the Sovereign Lord. In addition to all your other wickedness, you built a pagan shrine and put altars to idols in every town square. On every street corner you defiled your beauty, offering your body to every passerby in an endless stream of prostitution. Then you added lustful Egypt to your lovers, fanning the flames of my anger with your increasing promiscuity. That is why I struck you with my fist and reduced your boundaries. I handed you over to your enemies, the Philistines, and even they were shocked by your lewd conduct. You have prostituted yourselves with the Assyrians too. It seems you can never find enough new lovers. And after your prostitution there, you still were not satisfied. You added to your lovers by embracing that great merchant land of Babylonia, but you still weren't satisfied. What a sick heart you have, says the Sovereign Lord, to do such things as these, acting like a shameless prostitute. You build your pagan shrines on every street corner and your altars to idols in every square. You have been worse than a prostitute, so eager for sin that you have not even demanded payment for your love. Yes, you are an adulterous wife who takes in strangers instead of her own husband. Prostitutes charge for their services, but not you. You give gifts to your lovers, bribing them to come to you. So you are the opposite of other prostitutes. No one pays you, instead, you pay them. Therefore, you prostitute, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you've exposed yourself in prostitution to all your lovers, and because you have worshipped detestable idols, and because you have slaughtered your children as sacrifices to your gods, this is what I am going to do. I will gather together all your allies, these lovers of yours with whom you have sinned, both those you loved and those you hated, and I will strip you naked in front of them, so they can stare at you. I will punish you for your murder and adultery. I will cover you with blood in my jealous fury. Then I will give you to your lovers, these many nations, and they will destroy you. They will knock down your pagan shrines and the altars to your idols. They will strip you and take your beautiful jewels, leaving you completely naked and ashamed. They will band together in a mob to stone you and run you through with swords. They will burn your homes and punish you in front of many women. I will see to it that you stop your prostitution and end your payments to your many lovers. November 6th. Our reading in the New Testament today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. Now, with this chapter, the writer begins to explain the better priesthood of Christ, and he begins with the better order, the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is both king and priest, and his throne is a throne of grace. As king, he can control circumstances around you. As priest, he can change attitudes within you. You'll experience righteousness and peace as you yield to him. Now, because he's a priest forever, he saves forever. To the uttermost means completely, perfectly. You are secure as long as he lives. And guess what? He lives forever. He lives eternally. And you can live by the power of his endless life because you are in Christ. A perfect salvation should lead to a life of growing maturity. An earthly priesthood can make nothing perfect, nor can the law of God, actually, or the sacrifices. But Jesus can lead you into spiritual maturity as you walk by faith. He invites you to come to his throne, and he understands you better than you understand yourself. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. November 6th. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. And now a better hope has taken its place. And that is how we draw near to God. God took an oath that Christ would always be a priest. But he never did this for any other priest. Only to Jesus did he say, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of God's oath, it is Jesus who guarantees the effectiveness of this better covenant. Another difference is that there were many priests under the old system. When one priest died, another had to take his place. But Jesus remains a priest forever. His priesthood will never end. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save everyone who comes to God through him. He lives forever to plead with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has now been set apart from sinners, and he has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. He does not need to offer sacrifices every day like the other high priests. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once and for all when he sacrificed himself on the cross. Those who were high priests under the law of Moses were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made perfect forever. Psalm 106, verses 1 through 12. In light of God's goodness to Israel, you would have expected the nation to submit to him and serve him gladly and gratefully. Instead, they sinned and had to be disciplined many times. Before you judge them, however, consider whether you may be guilty of some of the same sins they committed. God delivered Israel from Egypt, but they soon forgot his mercy and ignored his counsel. He gave them manna, and they lusted for meat. They criticized their leaders. They worshipped a golden idol and would have been destroyed had Moses not interceded for them. They came to the border of the promised land and refused to go in. While wandering in the wilderness, they compromised with the heathen nations. Their stubborn attitude even made Moses sin. Once in the land, they compromised with the wicked nations, and God had to chasten them repeatedly. Were it not for his covenant, God would have destroyed them, but he forgave them and allowed them to have many, many new beginnings. Finally, he had to disperse them among the Gentiles. Psalm 106, verses 1 through 12. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him half enough? Happy are those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me too, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to me with your salvation. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Both we and our ancestors have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. Our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miracles. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. Instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. Even so, he saved them to defend the honor of his name and to demonstrate his mighty power. He commanded the Red Sea to divide, and a dry path appeared. He led Israel across the sea bottom that was as dry as a desert. So he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. Then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Then at last his people believed his promises. Then they finally sang his praise. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 4 through 6. Anger is cruel, and wrath is like a flood. But who can survive the destructiveness of jealousy? An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a friend are better than many kisses from an enemy.